Let's stand together for a moment. This morning, I'm going to just share for a few minutes. We're going to go through a lot of scripture. We're going to let the word speak for itself. And I'm speaking on restoration this morning. Restoration. The first part of the word restoration is the word rest. Rest. And whenever we feel that something has been stolen from our lives or things aren't working out the way we feel that they should work out and so on, if you're anything like me, which I would advise this congregation, don't be. Be like Christ. I don't rest enough in Christ. Anybody with me? Yeah. And when I can't figure it out, I can't fix it, I can't make the pieces all fit together, right? We need to trust in the restorative power of God. And so I want you to just for a moment, we've been through a beautiful time of communion and the Father and I were having a chat. I hope you were chatting with the Father. Because prayer is not a difficult thing. Actually, prayer is audience with God. And we've had audience with the Father this morning because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And so I want you for a moment to think about the things that you're longing in your life for God to restore. What's in your heart? What's in your life that you're longing for God to restore? For God to heal? For God to change? For God to come through? And how often have you, like me, tried to fix it? And it doesn't work. Anybody with me this morning, church? Sure. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your goodness and your grace. And we thank you that you truly are a God who restores. And Father, we are reminded at the communion table that we have been restored to relationship with you because of the price that Jesus paid. And so, Father, help us to recognize that as we rest in you, as we Sabbath in you, in your finished work, and Father, forgive me, I don't do it well, Lord. I don't do it well. I want to have my hand in the pie, and I want to try and fix it, and I want to try and work it out my way, but every time I try and work it out my way, it fails, and then I have to come back to a place of submission to your will. And so, Father, I pray today that as a church, we submit wholly to your will. Can we hear an amen to that? And what you want to do and what you're saying in the day that we're living in. Because you're speaking to the church. And the word says, let him who has an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And that's not a physical ear, that's a spiritual ear to hear. And so, God, I pray blessing and strength upon everyone here. In Jesus' name, and all of us said, amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is a restorative God. God's a restorative God. Praise God. I'll ask you to give me a bit of grace for my voice. I've been fighting this head thing. I don't want to fight it anymore, Lord. I'll take your healing restorative power to heal that. And so last night I didn't get a lot of sleep, so if I fall asleep during my message, you have permission to join me, okay? All right. Restoration. Can we have that first scripture up, please? John 10:10. We're just going to literally go through scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. I made a bunch of copies of the notes. The notes are also on the website. And they're at the physical copies are at the back. And if you would like a copy of this so you can study this and walk through Scripture and underline it and so on and so forth, you go ahead. This is the King James Version. I like this version for this passage. The thief cometh not, but for to steal. In other words, the thief, being Satan, comes for one purpose. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Okay, it sounds like three purposes there, but they're all tied together. So he wants to steal people's lives. He wants to kill them. This is just diabolical and ultimately destruction. An eternity of horrific consequences without God. Now, these are the words of Jesus. I am come, or I have come, that they might have life. Everybody say life. And that they might have it more abundantly. The word abundant is a beautiful word there. It means superior, extraordinary, surpassing, uncommon. It means so far above what you and I can ponder in our own minds is what God is longing and wants to do in our life. But since the very creation of mankind, the thief, Satan, had a plan of destruction. And God knew it would happen, and his redemptive purpose is to restore us back to what was to take place in the garden and to have dominion and to have authority and to restore mankind into relationship with him. And he's done it via the cross. We've had music about it this morning. We've had the representation of the elements this morning, the blood and the body. We've had new birth being celebrated here this morning. New birth, beautiful. We're going to be in Abbotsford next week, and I get to dedicate our new grandchild, William Henry Burroughs. And I get the privilege of Papa dedicating him next week. So Larry, we celebrate with you, and we are grand. Absolutely, grandparents. Now let's go to Friday night, April 21st. So we're going to back up the calendar a few minutes. And the women's conference. Now I have permission to tell this story. Friday night, the tables are set. The ladies are here, 80 to 100 ladies or something like that. And the conference is going on, and I think Bonnie was speaking at that time. I wasn't here. I was enjoying quiet time at home. The women are looking at me like. And so I get a phone call later on that night. Two thieves, true story, two thieves walked in the doors of this church in physical form. People. Unfortunately, being used by Satan for things that are not good. And my, or Becky's niece's phone, Ashley, led worship that weekend. Her phone was stolen. But along with that, Pat, you were sitting right back here, and on the back of the chair was her purse. And this individual was there, and he lifted her purse and the entire contents of what was in that purse. And if you've ever seen Pat's purse, it's like a house. I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. Don't get offended. And anyway, but there was a lot of valuable things in your purse. Identification. Credit cards. Debit card. Driver's license. Cell phone. Keys to their house and cars. And church. All of that. And the enemy enticed two people to walk through these doors, and I tell you what, after I found this out, I did not have a good weekend. I felt we had just been violated, and I felt really quite sick inside that we had not put some things in place and have some ushers here and so on and so forth, but Hindsight is 20/20. How many know that? So we're going to change some policy towards that. This is the exact way that just as these people stole Pat's credit cards and went tap, 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 until things were shut down by credit card companies. And they stole, in a physical sense, her identity. The thief wants to steal your identity. Our identity is in Jesus Christ. We're purchased, we're blood-bought, we're transformed. We are children of God, not perfect, but children of God. And the thief would like to come even after salvation, that's when he works the hardest, and steal your identity. Because he's terrified that this church and the church will finally get it right and understand our identity that is in Jesus Christ. And he's constantly trying to steal. But aren't you glad that Christ came and has restored, and it is in the restorative process in all of our lives and the world to restore mankind back to a relationship with Father God, with the Father. I should just say out of this, make sure you're, and I'm serious, make sure your cars are locked when you come to church. That's a true story. Ushers do check the parking lot. We left our car unlocked in Vernon, our van. Not smart. All of Becky's ID was in there, and somebody had a great time at the bars all afternoon on her credit card. But stuff happens. So, but here's our prayer. There were two. There was Bonnie and Clyde, a man and a woman. Father God, arrest those people in their spirit, convict them, and bring them to the cross. Amen, amen, church. That's got to be our response, and I'm sure at first it's a little hard for when stuff has been stolen. What's been stolen in your life? What's been stolen? All right, let's go to Joel 2, 23 to 27. It says, "Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you." Can we have the NIV? That's in the King James. "Be glad, O people of Zion, rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains in righteousness. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains, as before." Next verse. "The threshing floors will be filled with grain." Boy, if you're a farmer, you are thrilled when the harvest comes in and it's filled with grain. "The vats will overflow with new wine and oil." Those sounds like great days, doesn't it? Next verse. "I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten." The great locust and the young locust, the other locust and the locust swarm, my great army that I send among you. The question for so many people is, can God restore me when I've made so many mistakes? Or you've heard the saying, you made your bed, lie in it. How many of you have heard that story? Or that saying, God is not saying that to you today. He is not saying that at all to you. That is somebody who wants to put shame on you for your mistakes. And God is saying, I've come to remove shame. I can fix the years the locusts have stolen. And by the way, very important, because we're not going to get there today, you need to read the first chapter of Joel and into the second. Because what took and what moved the hand of God to restore the nation of Israel was repentance. It was a people who saw the error of their ways. It was a people who said, we have royally messed up. We've walked away. And God said, come on. And Joel the prophet, it's called a minor prophet, not because it was a minor message, because it was a very short message, but a major, major message in here was you need to turn back to God. We keep asking God, restore, restore, restore. And yet we had the opportunity this morning to allow the Holy Spirit to examine the issues of our heart and turn back and repent. Repentance is a gift. It's not a bad word. It's a beautiful love word. And God restores things and years that we have messed up can be literally restored like that in a second with the power of God. Everybody say amen. What is God wanting to restore in your life? We're going to roll through this very quickly today. Psalm 23, 1 to 3. Let's go there. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. That means wanting for nothing. Wanting for nothing. Seriously, wanting for nothing. Deuteronomy says that the blessings shall overtake you. How many would like the blessings to overtake you? Come on. Okay, the rest of you that don't, you're staying all afternoon. I'm preaching on this all afternoon. How many want the blessings to overtake you? Oh, wonderful. You don't want to stay, eh? The blessings will overtake you. Somebody last week blessed Becky and I with a bunch of beef. And we went home, and our freezer was packed. And so we're rearranging, and I said, where are we going to put it? Now, the crazy thing to do would be buy another deep freeze. No, this is true. Because when the blessings come and they overtake you, you seed it and you give it away. You don't build bigger barns because you got a big enough barn yourself. Right? Wanting for nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Ooh. I don't want to be made to lie down in a green pasture. I'm not smart enough, now don't you say amen to that, to know when I need rest. But he makes us lie down in green pastures. I love this. He leads me beside quiet waters. What is it about water that is so restorative? What is it? That's still water. Any of you ever camped on a lake? Right? Anybody long for a cottage on the lake? Oh, now your hands are going up. Yeah, I tell you. What is it about water that is restorative to the soul? And let me ask you this. What is it about our culture that doesn't know how to rest? What is it? It's called busyness. Busyness. We don't know how to rest. I'm going to say this. Church becomes secondary, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. If we get there, we get there. If we don't, we don't. One of the longings of my heart is for God to restore all of the people that have walked away from church because of wounds. Can we hear a big amen? You know, if all of the people in this city alone would be restored back to a loving church, the buildings wouldn't fill. We wouldn't have enough space. What a wonderful problem. We'd have to go to multiple services. So he restores us. He leads us beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Anybody worried today? Concerned? Feeling weighed down? He restores, there's that word, our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions. He says, come on, relax. When I had my motorbike and one of my favorite parts of the world is the Kootenays in British Columbia. Creston, Nelson, Caslow. Anybody know the area I'm talking about? Absolutely just restorative, very restorative. And I would meet a buddy, well, Larry, you and I, and Richard from the bridge. We did a trip down to Montana and on our bikes. But I would meet a friend from British Columbia. And I remember so distinctly riding along the highway from Nelson to Ainsworth to Caslow. And then you take another highway and you go over to New Denver. Oh my goodness, did God have his handiwork in all of that. And I remember pulling over to the side of the road and just going, ah. And you know what the Lord said to me? And he still is saying this to me. We don't do this enough, son. We don't do this enough. The restoring of our soul. the time to just stop the treadmill and be with God. Jesus did it all the time, okay? He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restored us to relationship. He restores our soul. I didn't have this scripture up there. Galatians 6, 1 and 2 says, if any of you is caught in a sin, it doesn't mean that, oh, we're catching you. It means entangled, in trouble, struggling. Is anyone caught in a sin? You who are spiritual, you who have the Holy Spirit, restore him gently. Bring them back to a place of restoration. Gather around them. Work with them. Encourage them. They mess up. We mess up. But just get there. Restore them back to what they were. In fact, not to where they were, but restore them to a greater place. And be very, very careful, the scripture says, so that you won't be tempted also. And what he's saying, the writer there, Paul, and so by doing this, we fulfill the law of Christ. He's saying, be very, very careful, because what he does not want from us is judgment. Instead, love and restore a brother. Let's go to the next verse. I'm going to let the word just do this. How about Psalm 51:12? Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. This is after David is found out. Found out from what? Adultery. Bathsheba, the view from his balcony was, oh dear. And he'd become, I think, arrogant. Maybe he'd become, I deserve this. She was married to another man. He goes, gets her, brings her, has sex. You can say sex in church. There's a baby. Baby dies. This is a mess. And he tries to cover this thing up over and over because adultery turned to lie and the lie turned to murder. As he took out her husband. He didn't do it personally. He had him on the front lines. Get him killed. And he tries and hides it until Nathan, the prophet, confronts him. Wow. And this is his prayer after that. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. He literally said his bones, it was like, I'm aching because of this weight of conviction. I'm a wreck. That's what he said before. And it's literally teeming through my body. Sin has a way of doing that. Unconfessed sin, trying to hide it, just has a way of doing that to us. When the Father says, come on, I'll give you an audience, come. Okay, all you who are laden and burdened, and I will give you Sabbath rest. I'll restore you. Yeah. God does not push us away when we mess up. That's a violation of that new covenant. But he lets us go down that path. But like a father, a true father yearns. Look at the story of the prodigal son. The story is more about God the Father than the prodigal. And his arms are opened. Next verse. Isaiah 40, 31. How many of you feel a little weak today? I feel physically weak. This cold has done some things. Didn't sleep well. But those who hope in the Lord, they that wait upon the Lord, will renew their strength. And waiting isn't passive, just God's not doing anything. But it's a constant time with the Father, knowing that he's going to act, and he's going to move, and he's going to do what he said he's going to do. But the Lord keeps working out patience in me. I'm not patient. I'm quite impatient. Don't you say amen down there. I'm impatient at times. I really am. I had a, oh, God and I did some reasoning together yesterday. I can tell you, we did some reasoning. Come, let us reason. Yeah. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Watch, look at this. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. This, you have to have time with God, church. Oh, I come to church Sunday. Oh, no. That's yes, but time during the week. Time. Restorative waters. The Holy Spirit pouring into you. Okay? Let him pour in. Next verse. Psalm 37. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. What dreams have been robbed from you? What passions, what desires have been, you feel like they've been stolen? And if we're honest today, we have at times opened the door for the enemy to come in and do that. But he waits for an opportune time to also do that. Luke chapter 4, after Jesus had come through the desert experience, he was exhausted, he was hungry, weary. 40 days in a desert and fasting, let me know how you do. And the enemy comes to him and tempts him 3 times, and he comes back at him every time with the word. And Satan sees, I have nothing here, but I'm going to wait for an opportune time. The Apostle Paul says, we are not unaware of the devil's schemes. And his scheme is to get you discouraged. It's to get you down. It's to get you to say, he'll never fulfill my or his promises in my life. Speaking to me this morning. He'll do that. He wants to rob you. He wants to steal from you. But God is not the thief. God is a giver. God is a restorer. And all the years that the locusts have eaten, he can restore like that in the name of Jesus Christ. Your kids. What about your kids? We've talked about this lots. Oh, my kids. Isaiah 43, 5 and 6. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. I'm with you. I will. This is a promise to Israel, but make it a promise to you today. I will bring your children from the east. It's a promise of the redemptive plan of God to bring Israel back to their land. But you can take this promise and say, this is for my family, and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up. God will stand. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. God will stand. I had a conversation with an individual this past week, a pastor actually, not in the city, away. And I've been just connecting with him. They're going through a very difficult time. And I said to him, man, you got to stand in your authority. You got to stand in the authority that Jesus Christ has given you. And you got to stand and say, now get your hands off my family and my finances and my church in the name of Jesus Christ. There comes a point, and I'm going to speak this to the men, you got to stand for your family. You don't send men and, or women and children out into battle, you send men. And we need some Goliaths to raise, or some Davids to rise up here and fight against the Goliaths in your life. But you're the one that can do that because of the Holy Spirit that's within you and the authority of Jesus Christ. Sometimes I feel we're taking a kicking. God wants to restore these things, and God does this. And Ephesians 6 says, when you've done all you can, stand. What's that? I've done everything I can. Good, thank you. Stand. Stand and watch and see what God does to restore the things that you feel have been stolen from you. Marriages, relationships, finances, health, physical things. You know, Proverbs says that when a thief steals, he has to return sevenfold. That's a true story. Read it. It's in the book. You had finances stolen from you? Stand in the authority that's in the word and say, all right, Satan, You got that. Yep, you got that. I'm not sweating it because God's my source. And the word says the thief has to return sevenfold. So why don't you remind Satan of that? So if you've ever had $10,000 stolen, why don't you stand for a return of 70? Oh, that's ridiculous. Really? Maybe you've just never thought about it like that. Maybe you just have never opened your heart and mind up to what the scripture says. Yeah. We had $65,000 stolen from us. I'm doing the math in my mind right now, trust me. Yeah. Next verse. What about your health? But I will restore to you, I will restore you to health and heal your wounds. Wow. Declares the Lord. Isn't that something? Who declares it? God. Israel's walked away. It's a big mess. And God declares it through the prophet Jeremiah. But return to me, he's saying. I'm going to restore you. Because you are called an outcast, Zion, for whom nobody cares. Do you ever feel like nobody cares about you? Do you ever feel abandoned by God? Do you ever feel like he really, man, he's really messed up? None of you want to be too honest this morning. Sure you have. He's a restorer. Notes are at the back. Ephesians 3:20. Would you come to the piano? Let's stand. Ephesians 3:20. I love this verse, but we miss the second part of it. I love this. When God restores, when he restores, when he truly restores, he does it in a fashion that you stand back and you go, we could never have done this. We could never have done this. Not a chance could we have done this. Now to him, Ephesians, now to him, Christ, who is able to do immeasurably more, immeasurably more, exponential, multiplication. I one day I'm going to preach on this. My mind works in numbers. Larry, you know that. And Terry, you're very good with numbers. Becky, you know how my mind, well, don't say too much. But I understand numbers. Like it just works. I see numbers and it just, I memorize them just like that. I can just memorize numbers. And so when you talk about exponents, you go 3 to the power of 3 to the power of 3. I'd rather have that than 3 plus 3 plus 3. Right? Exponentially. Think about, all of you mathematicians, think about exponents right now. Exponentially. Larger. Powerful. Greater, far beyond, something you couldn't do, more than all we could ask, even far greater than what we could conjure up and ask or imagine, right? This is our God. This is our God. Oh, come on, say amen. This is our God. This is our God. Restorative, healing, transformational. Multiplication, increase over our lives. This is what he does when it looks like ashes. He raises us up out of that ash heap and restores us to a prominent position. Why does he do that? Well, it's his nature, first of all, it's love. Secondly, he goes, hey, Satan. And he yells it across the universe. I think he does. Hey! Did you see what I did? Now get lost. They're trophies bought by the blood of my son. Now get lost. You're defeated because of the blood and the cross and the resurrection of Christ. And God raises us up. Trophies. And some of you don't feel like trophies today. But it doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been. It doesn't matter. If you turn to the living God, the Father, exponentially, He's going to change your life. Come on, can I hear a big amen? But watch this. According to His power that is at work within us, exponentially, the Holy Ghost that's within us when we come to Christ, according to that power, He's at work. So what's been stolen? Well, I did it, Pastor Mark. It's my fault. All right, big deal. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That is not so much a you did this. It's an invitation. Come to me. You've all fallen short. Come. I'll heal you. I'll restore you. And it will be exponential. It will be so marvelous. You'll stand back and see the glory of our God. Can I hear a big amen? Yeah. That's what He does. Every head bowed.